This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
As we move along on a Tuesday, Seat Williams, Ari's got the wheels of steel. Let's get busy, folk. Going to bring up our good friend Nick Hamilton. He's with the Morning After and also The Fix on Dash Radio. You can hear him on Saturdays, 8 to 10 o'clock, as we get you going here on a Tuesday. Unfortunately, we can't give away the Mike Tyson tickets today. The show's going to be preempted by Pacific Coast League Championship game. I guess it's Memphis and Durham. So we'll try to get the tickets to you maybe on Wednesday or Thursday. A lot of get to get to here today, I got to tell you. Dope will be moved to about a quarter after. Let's go to the phone lines right now. I'll take you out to Los Angeles. Our good friend Nick Hamilton, Morning After, 8 to 10, Saturday mornings. Nick, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, man, in this L.A. rush hour traffic, but we good.
Something I don't want to be experiencing, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all.
Now, what are you sitting on right now? What are you sitting on? Which freeway?
Man, I'm trying to get on this 110 right quick, so we'll see what happens.
Well, tell you, we'll start with the Chargers. And as you know, we're jammed for time here. We're dropped to 30 minutes today because we got the AAA Baseball World Series following us, and the pregame show is going to knock our last half hour out. So let's start with the San Diego Chargers, opening things up in StubHub Stadium. What was the atmosphere like for their first game at home out there in L.A.?
For the newly crowned L.A. Chargers, the atmosphere was interesting. I mean, it was obviously a smaller venue, but it seemed like to be maybe half and half, maybe half Charger fans, half Dolphin fans. If you want to be technical, maybe a 55-45 split in favor of the Chargers, but it's very, very minute. But it was half and half crowd. I mean, everybody was amped. The energy was alive. I will say that. And it was just people were ready for the game to get started. You had the beautiful Jordan Sparks singing the national anthem. How can you go wrong with that? So it was a good venue. It was an interesting venue. I think people just have to get used to being in that type of environment with such a small area of space.
It was okay until, first of all, let me say this. Same old Chargers, same old fan base. Even in Qualcomm, it was that way, where the majority of the fan base or half of the fan base was the opposing team, which is not acceptable. And then, of course, down the stretch, the way the game ended with the Chargers, when their kicker, their new kicker, Wu, had a chance to win the ball game, and here's what happened.
This will be placed right in the middle of the field. It'll be a 44-yard attempt for Koo. He has converted from 41, has missed from 43. The rookie out of Georgia Southern. Snap, hold, kick is up. And it is no good. No good. Adam Gase did not call the timeout. Koo misses it and misses two of his three attempts today. And that was a good snap and hold.
And that's the way it works. Think about it. That's the way it works. Okay. You get a new kicker, Koo. And what the cannon do going off? They lost the game. The cannon still shot off like he made the kick.
Yeah, we were sitting there scratching our head like, did the cannon just go off after he lost? I mean, is that a new tradition now? We were kind of baffled behind that because normally we thought the cannon goes off when you get a victory. Coach Land talked about it after the game and even this week at practice, he talked about, you know, the question was, hey, are you going to cut this, you know, cut Younghoe Koo? Are you going to search for a new kicker? Because there was a video that surfaced after the game of Nick Novak, like, knocking out, like, extra points and kicks. So it kind of raised the question, hey, Coach Lynn, are you going to look for another kicker now? Because if so, there's a guy with a video surfacing that used to be a part of this organization. He was like, no, we're going to stay with Cole. We're going to, you know, give him another opportunity this Sunday against the Chiefs to see if he can bounce back. So, hey, man, there you have it as it pertains to the kicker. No new moves at least according to Anthony Lynn right now.
And you, and this is 2 weeks in a row. He got iced by the Broncos rookie head coach last week on Monday night. Then he missed the next one. Okay, and so he misses a game winner, a potential game. Actually, it would have been a game winner. Now, also, the fans, half of the fan base, the opposing fans, but your mayor out there, Eric Garcetti, here's what he had to say on the Dan Patrick Show. Now, here's his quote. We embrace any team that comes. We're certainly happy to have the Chargers in L.A., but when you hear that but, I think we could have been happy with just one team, too, meaning the Rams. Ha! Come on! Even the mayor doesn't want the Chargers there, and he has already expressed being a Ram fan.
Well, here's the thing, too. Number one, which you and I have discussed on several occasions, is that the Chargers waited a year too late to make their pilgrimage to L.A. The Rams had a year jump start, even though they finished at, I believe, 4-12. They still had a jump start. They still had a leg up on the Chargers being in L.A. L.A. can't support two teams, but the product has to be good. And let's be clear about something. The product isn't great with the Rams like it isn't great with the Chargers. It takes time to build. It takes time for people to get adapted to a new team, which is the Rams, a new team, which is the Chargers, because L.A. is a melting pot. You have so many different fans who have migrated to Los Angeles from different parts of the country that we have 9 million different people going for 9 million different fans, you know, fan bases. And so it takes time. It takes time for people to get accustomed to the surroundings of having two teams back here. Remind you, we haven't had a team or two teams here in 22 years. So we're just getting two teams back into the fold. And we are, you know, people have to understand it. It's going to take time. If you remember when the St. Louis Cardinals moved from St. Louis to Arizona, right, and they came to Arizona, I mean, their fan base was putrid. But over time, and they got a new stadium, and over time they started winning, and they started being a better product. Now it's full of Cardinals fans out there. So it's going to take time for the Chargers. It's going to take time for the Rams and their fan base to grow and develop and be stronger. The saving grace maybe for both teams is that the fact that they're going to have a brand-new state-of-the-art stadium in Inglewood in about another 2.5 to 3 years. So that may be the saving grace. But like I've always said, I think that the people just need to give these teams time to grow and to develop and not have so many expectations so.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think there is hope for the Rams in L.A., but I don't think you could take the city of Phoenix and make it the city of L.A., where L.A. and San Diego just don't get along anyhow. The Chargers are the Chargers of San Diego. Now they're in L.A. They didn't want them anyway, the fan base there. I don't think it's going to ever really work for the fan base there. I don't think they wanted the Chargers. The mayor even said it. I don't care what they do, even if they win, it's not the Charger fan base. It's the Raider fan base, second the Ram fan base, and then your college teams. I don't think the Chargers have a chance to ever develop and have a pro fan base there. That's just my take on L.A.
No, I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing, though. Let's be clear. I mean, the Raiders dominate L.A., okay, over both teams. The Raider fan base and the Raiders, everybody would have preferred the Raiders to come back here. That was if you talk to a lot of L.A. people and a lot of L.A. fans, they would have preferred to have the Raiders over both of these teams they currently have now. However, I've always said, too, I thought it would have been a better idea if the Chargers rebranded, gave themselves a new name, kind of made L.A. almost like an expansion team, left the Chargers in San Diego as far as the name, the colors, the tradition, all of that stuff, and just came up with a brand-new scheme and a brand-new flavor. And maybe L.A. would have been more willing to embrace this team because it represents L.A. It's a piece of L.A. I think you have a point when you say, you know what, it's the L.A.-San Diego thing. It's the Chargers. They belong to they were in San Diego. Now they're moving up to L.A. You know, I think they should have rebranded. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think things can turn around. If they start winning and they start, you know, being a competitive football team, I think the consensus may change. Well, but the only time will tell.
Yeah, whether or not, and we're talking to Nick Hamilton, our good friend out in Los Angeles, trying to get on the 101. The other team in L.A. didn't fare as well either because Kirk Cousins handled that with the Redskins.
Third and five at the 12 of this tie game. Cousins in the shotgun. Takes a snap. Looking left. Still looking. He's going to float it out. And it is caught. Caught for a Redskins touchdown. Ryan Grant the catch. And the Redskins take the lead with 1:49 to play. Teams walking across the field to congratulate the winning team, the Washington Redskins. Game over. Game over. The Redskins victorious on the road in Los Angeles. Final score, the Redskins 27 and the Rams 20.
And, of course, the Skins Radio Network, which I have in Vegas, I should have just parlayed the two teams in L.A. to lose. I'd be rich right now.
Oh, man, you sound real salty right now. But go ahead.
I ain't happy. I can't see my Chargers, and they lose.
Your level seem a little high.
All right, what are your thoughts about the Rams? We saw the upside of the Rams last week, and then we saw what I think is going to be the real Ram team this year. We saw them Sunday.
Well, you know what? I think we saw Jared Goff get better. I mean, he wasn't great. Let's be clear about that. But he did look better as far as some of his decisions that he did make. But obviously, this is a new offense for him. He's got to get adjusted to making certain decisions, knowing how to throw the ball away, knowing how to go up to the line of scrimmage and pretty much change the play if necessary. Because there were a couple in Cooper Kupp that I know it called for Cooper Kupp getting the ball, but when you saw the defense shift over and change, you need to be able to have the heart enough to go up to the line of scrimmage and change the play. That's what the quarterback is responsible for. But also, too, on the defensive side, I mean, yes, we saw Aaron Donald come in for a few snaps in and out, and I think that kind of disrupted the rhythm of the defense when you look at the Rams' defense. But also,
I think we lost you there. Okay. Hey, you're going in and out. We can't hear you right now. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Stay with me, all right, Nick? Stay with me. Don't hang up on him. He's still there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump to the game last night, okay? And in that ball game, the final score 24-10 in favor of the Detroit Lions. Lions won that ball game. And after the ball game, their head coach, McAdoo, had this to say about the way things went down. He actually threw Eli Manning under the bus.
Sloppy quarterback play. Quarterback and the center need to be on the same page there. We got to get the ball snapped.
Why did you call a timeout?
Because we have a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of football. I expect us to get the ball snapped.
How would you assess Eli's play?
Usually the clock goes from 3, 2, 1, 0. Once it hits zero, they look at the ball, look at the clock. Usually have a tick once it hits zero to get the ball snapped without it being a delay game. I thought we had a chance to get it off.
That's McAdoo. What are you doing? Okay, I know he started off with this, Nick, by saying, it's on me. But then right when the questions came, what happened? Oh, our quarterback's got to get on the same page with the center. Our quarterback's sloppy play. To me, that right there is throwing your QB under the bus.
No, that's not throwing one under the bus. That's rolling over him with the bus. Like, that's crushing him with the bus. And as a head coach, take responsibility. I know you have to delegate responsibility to who's actually on the field, but you as the head coach are responsible for what happens and doesn't happen, and you got to take that heat whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's awful. I don't know what else to give. Hopefully they'll figure it out for Giant fans, because that is not going to be a good marriage at all. McAdoo is not going to be there much longer. We know Eli Manning, what, in his mid-30s now, about 35? He's starting to show his age, but he's got weapons. And once Beckham is full string again, they may be all right. But I think the other teams in that division may already have a case to who's going to hold the crown there. All right, let folks know one more time before you go here where they can find you.
You cannot go against the Manning. That's all I'm going to say.
One more time where the folks can find you. We got a short show today.
They can find me on The Morning After with Nick Hamilton on Dash Radio every Saturday, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Hit me up on Twitter at Nick Hamilton LA, as well as on Instagram at Nick Hamilton LA.
All right, brother. Hey, we'll check you out on the radio. We'll see you next week, Nick. Good job, brother.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, Nick Hamilton. morning after doing some additional work. He's got a show called The Fix, both on Dash Radio. You can check out The Morning After, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings. We're going to step out. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
317 in the Valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Oh, this one hits home. And it's not very often we hear news like this in the Valley, but this one is good news for you. The Attorney General's office announced the largest case with the most defendants it's ever handled. Attorney General Adam Lexalt said 24 suspects are accused of ripping off people for the most 3 years of staging fake car accidents. You've heard it, okay? Where someone may... You may pull up and stop somewhere suddenly and a car hits you from behind, barely bump you. Then you get out the car. While you're out the car, they may use the ploy where somebody else comes on the other side of the car and gets some out of your purse or your bag. Or, oh, my neck brace. Oh, insurance company, I got to see one of these big attorneys in Vegas to get paid. Well, guess what? They busted the ring. The attorney's general office said the suspects conspired to stage at least 19 car crashes and 4 thefts and fraudulently obtain insurance benefits between September 2014 and May of this year. Laxalt said each suspect played a different role in the scheme. These guys were organized. Some provided the vehicle used to stage the crash. Some drove the vehicles used in the crash. Some participated as a passenger, and others falsely claimed to be the driver or passenger to maximize the payout. Well, guess what, car ring junkies? Laxalt's got your asses. You're busted. And that's dope. Mm.
I know all about that. I've heard these stories. But this is a... I'm not convinced that means that this is never going to happen again. But I've heard of this kind of thing. That's just messed up.
Well, I mean, hey, it's a good scheme as long as... Here's the problem. Well, no. For the world of the thieves and the
correct.
World of the criminals. It's a really good scheme.
But
the bigger your family is, the more chance it is of you getting busted. For one, the greed. For two, not everybody's going to be built like you, the person that probably put it together. You're going to have people that can flip, that will rat out. They're weak.
Real quick.
Okay? Anything happens, guess what? Oh, it wasn't me. It was him. I was just, they forced me to do it. No. You're busted. You're out. Sure, some other chumps are going to come and try it, and they'll probably fail as well. But thanks to Laxalt. Good for you guys. Attorney General's office, you're dope for getting these fools off the highway and out of our lives.
Absolutely.
For now.
All right. Good. I like that. My story is it's from last year, I believe. His name is Ibin Ali Miller. He's a 26-year-old man from Atlantic City, New Jersey. He's like a community guy in the neighborhood, helps out with things. There's a clip that I'm going to play. It's just 10 seconds of them talking. It's two kids, and it starts off with them, starting a fight. They're about to start fighting, and all these kids are around with the cell phones, of course, just filming it, like kids do. So until he walks up and like I said, he's a community. He's in the community. He's out there. He knows these people. So like he walks out and here's what part of what happened here.
Now look, they want y'all to be enemies. Now look, he can't even stop smiling. Put your hand back out, bro. He gonna shake it this time. I promise you. Put your hand back out, bro. He gonna shake it, bro.
So he got two kids. That's from the Steve Harvey show. Is what is actually where I got this story. He's a Harvey, the name escapes me. He's a Harvey hero. There you go. And he got these kids to stop fighting. I mean, you know how it is when you're a kid, you're fighting. And of course, they're fighting over a girl, they said later on.
Oh, boy.
15 and an 18-year-old. Somebody sent 18? A text. Yeah, that was a little taken aback from that. But, you know how it is. It's the pride thing. So they're out there. And he just steps up. And he at the end of it, not only they shake hands, but literally he got them to come on the show. They got... a $5,000 scholarship to go to college, with the pending that they actually go to college. They're not just getting money, but both of them really seemed very enlightened by the guy, like on stage. They're It's like he changed their life, and he really instilled in them these things that, you know, kids don't always get when they don't have a father influence in their life. So to me, I mean, Ali Miller sure is dope.
I'll agree. It is dope. I will say this. You ever fought over a girl?
Not really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, come on. That's like saying a relationship is 50-50.
Because let me just say
this. You have.
No, let me tell you one thing. If you dated a girl for a little time, whatever that may be, and we're friends, I don't expect 2 years later that this girl is like blacklisted from any communication from me. If I bump into this girl 2-3 years later that you casually dated for a month or two, to me that is not breaking any bro code. Now, if it's a girlfriend or something like that, an ex-wife, etc., definitely there's some code and I adhere to that. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, have you ever fought over a girl? Yes or no?
Nah, I've just pursued the argument that, hey, that girl from 6 years ago that you're steady saying that no one can talk to, that's kind of weird. That's all.
I haven't, and I never will. Okay.
Yeah, there's no
if
need.
If I fight over a girl, it's a family member that somebody was messing with. That's the reason I fight over them, to protect them.
There you go.
But I'm sorry, man. There's too many other things in life that are way more important. There's more girls. Next girl up. Yeah. Gee.
Exactly.
Fighting over a girl. When you're 18, 15 years of age, okay, all right. Maybe it hasn't quite kicked in yet that there's more important things in life. You can find another girl. But all right. Whatever the case. Dope that he corrected the problem. This right here was good. Okay. It happened recently up in Washington. You ever run a marathon?
I wish.
Okay, I haven't. Used to be a sprinter younger, but no legs to run that now. This woman up in Washington, her name is Devon Beeling. She's running a marathon and she gets 12 yards from the finish line and her legs collapse. She just can't go anymore. But she really wanted to obtain her goal and get to that finish line. So while on the ground, the medical people were about to come help her. She's like waving them off. She's on the ground and she begins to roll. She rolls herself 12 to 15 yards to the finish line. The medical people come at that point in a tender. They get her up. They keep her up. They get water in her to rehydrate her. And she made it.
That's awesome.
She didn't win the race. And like I said, this happened recently, but she finished the race. And to me, getting to that goal, getting to that finish line for that woman, Devon, it's pretty damn dope.
Devon, that is dope. I like that. You can't ever give up. The show must go on. And just to finish, like, you know, I get it. She's not going to win. You have to accept that. But got to finish what you started. And that is why I can't run a marathon, for the record. All right, I have a story here. It's not even a story. It's just some information that I thought was really cool. I'm always interested in, you know, owning my own business one day again. So I found out that to join a major chain like KFC, you know, franchisees usually have to shell out, you know, $1-2 million just before the opening of the even doors goes through. You know, like you can't even get anywhere without that kind of money. So I guess Chick-fil-A CEO and founder S. Truett Cathy turned that model over and revamped it in 1967. This is going back to and how they do there is as far as franchisees, they bankroll the entire operation. And it's dope on both ends to me, because here's what it is. Not only do they take full control by picking where the locations of the restaurants are, and they're pretty much in charge of everything, but the operator of the franchisee, their only front money is $5,000. So you can essentially run and franchise off a Chick-fil-A for $5,000 versus $1.9-2 million that they're talking about for KFC. So I think on the business end, on Chick-fil-A's end, that's really smart, because then they get all their control to run the business the way they want. But, you know, then they still have someone out there doing it. And for the actual franchisee, that's an actual way to start. You know, I could probably go grab a $5,000 loan right now and get it going. What do you think, CJ?
I like it.
You want to do it?
Yeah. The thing is, Chick-fil-A, the one thing they're missing out on, I get it, because of their religious background of the owners. You got to open on Sundays, man.
Sunday
is the day that people that go to church, I can speak in particular for blacks. Black people, after they go to church, hallelujah, they want to eat.
Hallelujah.
Okay? And you got chicken? And you're closed? No. You're right up on Rancho and Sahara, not far from the hood. You got to open up on Sundays. If I had my own establishment of a Chick-fil-A, guess what? Boom. My Chick-fil-A is open on Sundays, and my peeps is coming in there to eat.
Yep.
Yeah, that's dope. One quick one also. Speaking of free food, the Chargers. There's a place in San Diego called El Polo Grill. Victor Lopez is the owner. He's a Charger fan. The Chargers in L.A. So every time the Chargers lose, he gives out free tacos. So his place is jumping. Now, so 2 weeks in a row, he's giving out free tacos. And the tacos are average about only $2.99 if you're paying for them. But free? Imagine how many people are coming through that day. So the question is, how long do you carry it? The Chiefs are next. Then the Raiders. Then the Broncos. Then the Patriots. Okay, the Chargers are going to be 0-6 going into their bye week, okay?
That's a lot of tacos.
That's a lot of tacos going in the belly, baby. All right.
So lighters like down. A field trip, maybe?
No, not for $2.99. No. I'm sorry. Yeah. But I get it, though. I like what he's doing. He's getting a lot of interest. ABC's in there doing a story, all the other networks. So, hey, to me, it's all good. It's all the time. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the show as we get it on. Boy, I got to tell you, 30 minutes goes by real fast. Thanks to Nick Hamilton. Morning After, catch him on Dash Radio 8 to 9. For Ari, I am Seat Williams. Remember, folk, Tinstuck Logarts up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC Sports Radio, The Game. Game on. Game over.